Empire Building, the podcast where we talk about building big businesses and even bigger lives. I'm your co-host, Wendy Papazian, and we've got a very, very special guest here in the studio with us today. An old friend. Gosh, how long have I known you, Christina? A couple decades, probably, right? 20 years, something like that. Christina Wise is here with us today, and she's, I don't know, a real estate mogul is how I would call her, millionaire coach. She's got several multi-million dollar businesses, and her most recent endeavor is something called Wealthy Wealthy. She's also an international speaker and award-winning author of a book called Falling for Money, a romance novel for your bank account. And she was at one point named one of the most influential real estate leaders in the country. So she's just basically a badass, and she has really managed to end up at a point in her life where she's very intentional about who she spends her time with and what she does. And so I'm just excited to learn from her today. So welcome, Christina.
Thank you. I'm so happy to have this conversation with you.
Yeah. Well, and you also have a podcast. I forgot to mention that. And that's the Wealthy Wealthy podcast. So you guys should definitely check it out. Let's go back to where you started in real estate. So you've been in real estate for a long time. When did you start?
Let's see. I started the same year Jay did. So what year was that?
Okay. 2000.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. 2000. So yeah, way back when Austin was still a little college town, right?
It was much different. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And you were a single mom at that point, right?
I wasn't a single mom at that point, but shortly thereafter. So yeah. Yeah. But most of my real estate career I was.
Okay. And tell me about the Christina before real estate. What were you doing before real estate?
So real estate, it's funny. I think most of us accidentally got into real estate, or it happened as a side project or something. I accidentally wound up in real estate because I started with mortgages. In college, I went to the accounting school and got a finance degree because I really just loved numbers, but I loved money. From a young age, I've always loved money. I love making money. I just have been inspired by money and motivated by money, more maybe on the negative side earlier in my life. But, so I just thought, oh, these degrees are going to help me get good with money, be rich. I wanted to be rich because I started a trailer home. So being rich was a very big goal and intention for me. I mean, that was more important than anything. So I got the business and accounting degree, and then I started in mortgages after that because that kind of fell in line with finance, and I couldn't get a job right away. So somebody said, oh, come help me out in the mortgage company, some teeny tiny small business. But mortgage was really interesting. I actually really enjoyed the mortgage side of things because I did like the numbers. I did like working, helping people kind of on that money side, if you will. Mm-hmm. But I realized pretty early on, I mean, it was in my early 20s, I learned that people were always pissed off at me because I couldn't get them approved because their credit score was bad. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, this isn't any fun. But then I met a few realtors and different things, and they seemed like they were having so much more fun on that side of the business. And ultimately, both mortgage and then I got into real estate, so it looked like it'd be more fun. I thought that would just be a moneymaker while I went back to grad school, mm-hmm. and I was going to get a formal business degree. And then when I got into the real estate side of things, I just really fell in love with it. And, you know, the rest is history.
Wow. I love that. Well, what's interesting about that is you've kind of come full circle, because if your intention at the beginning was to learn about money and then help people get better with their finances, that's pretty much where you are now. So it's pretty remarkable.
It is funny. I mean, that wasn't by design, but it is funny mm-hmm. how it worked out that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, sometimes, you know, our passion shows up in different ways. Yeah. Along the way. So yeah, I love that. Well, and then you had a long career in real estate. So you were a successful realtor, one of the top teams in Austin, Texas. Maybe even, I don't know, at one point the top team, I don't know. But, and so tell us a little bit about that. How did you start, because you were obviously an individual realtor, but how did you get this idea to grow a team?
You know, it's so fun when you reflect back on your career, and you know, at that young age, you weren't sure what you were doing, but then reflecting back, it's like, oh, here's how it worked out. you know, for me, when I got into real estate, I felt very lucky at the time because I didn't know anything. I was in my early 20s and, like I said, came out of mortgage business and accounting and finance before that, and did a short stint with an accounting company. Anyway, when I got into real estate, I thought it was going to be short term, like I mentioned, and I accidentally got introduced to this company called Keller Williams. And at that time, 23 plus years ago, it wasn't very well known. And small. It was super small. I mean,
I think it was like 6,000. I want to say less than 6,000 because you started when my husband Jay did. So I think it was less than 6,000 agents worldwide compared to 190,000 today. So it was really pretty tiny.
It was pretty tiny. Yeah. And I mean, so tiny that back then Gary and, you know, the late Dave Jinks taught all the classes. Mm-hmm. And Gary taught these classes all the time that was based on a lot of books he was reading and business. And I was just, was amazed at what I learned from the two of them speaking and teaching us as agents. And again, I was young and I just thought, I'm learning more out of this than I did my 5 years at college. Like, this is incredible. Mm-hmm. But Gary was just so inspiring back then. And then, you know, he and then Dave Jinks at the time, he was such a great coach and teacher and just a lovely soul. But I felt very lucky because I got to learn how to think about really money and business from that young mm-hmm. age. And Gary then was kind of at this beginning of this mega agent team and building a business inside of the business that ultimately became the new business model of all real estate.
Yeah, I mean, it's very common today, but back then it was very, very uncommon.
It's uncommon. I mean, to build a team, mostly it's just you'd be one successful agent. Maybe you had an assistant and it was Howard Britton type model back then. But I just felt really lucky to learn under Gary. And I just went to every class. And I remember even thinking, Wendy, back then, I just thought it was such incredible knowledge. And I couldn't believe why the entire, like, these workshops weren't filled out, like why more people weren't there. I mean, I just couldn't believe it because we learned so much. But ultimately, that started there. I got really lucky and just continued to learn and learn and learn from Gary. And then the original 12, there's the 12 mega agents, which are in the Millionaire Real Estate Agent book. Mm-hmm. He had selected me to be part of that 12.
And I forgot. You're in the book. Yeah.
In the book. And crazy. I was just so young and ambitious and learning. And I think, you know, I wasn't doing a lot of production then yet, but I think they just loved it because I was so tenacious about the learning and trying. And ultimately Gary did one-on-one as part of the 12, he did one-on-one. So again, all of that to say, I got lucky at that point to just timing happened and synchronicity happened to be there at that time. But what that ended up going on to is that, I became a top agent in Austin, and then, but because of Gary's help, built one of those early teams that became one of the leading teams. The interesting thing about that story is that what I kind of learned through all that was a couple different things, was that there was me as a single real estate agent that was hustling and that was worked hard and tried to get more hours. And what happened, I remember there's probably like 3 years, Wendy, where I was doing pretty well sales-wise. I did great at real estate because I love making money and I was very motivated by awards. So I really wanted to be number one. And that was just getting those awards and being on stage. That's what fueled me at the time. So I had a few years of that. So it's probably like year four. And at the end of December, I'm getting all these medals around my neck about top producer for this, top producer for that. Then on January 1, it finally hit me around like year four or something, like, I've got to start over again. I'm starting at zero. And now zero to do all that production as a single agent. So it finally hit me then. And that's about when Gary was about ready to start a lot of this coaching and training. It hit me that I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. I don't want to be just this single person that hustles and tries to make enough money to pay my bills. And then two, I realized that I'm making this income and I'm spending all my money and I don't have any extra. I'm not creating any wealth or passive income. So those two things hit me at the same time. And one thing that leads to me to where I do today, but one was, there's a difference between being a top performing agent or individual performer at anything And something different about building a business, and that's what Gary taught us how to do, is build these teams as businesses. And it was the big realization there. It's like, oh, this business is a thing that I have to build. And I have to want to create this machine that creates the money where I don't have to just go hustle all the time. So it's lesson number one. They created this love of business and creating.
Well, and that's a totally different mindset. You know, it's a mindset shift, and it's probably a totally different skill set for you after being a top agent where you were performing at a very high level, helping buyers and sellers and investors. And it's just a very different skill set. So how did you make that transition? And also, like, I always think about your team as you were just so good at marketing. Like, I always think it's kind of, for me, it's kind of funny thinking about you as a finance major because you have such a really brilliant marketing mind. Even, I don't know, actually, I was looking through the MLS and like one of your old listings popped up and just like the wording, I don't know, you're sort of before your time marketing wise when it comes to real estate. So how did you sort of make that shift from individual agent to like marketing maestro and team builder?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it was just, that's just it. It's a different skill set. And it's where you don't succeed through yourself. You succeed in through your own individual talent and kind of hard work ethic. But you succeed through the business. And the business has all these components. But that was a part of the love. And marketing, one of those pieces, I always did love marketing. I still love marketing. I love creating brands. And I love the iconography. And I love all the pieces and building websites. And so I had a natural love of that. Even though I love numbers too and money. But I just love the challenge of building the business and how do I make as much money or more money without having to be the one that shows the houses. And that became the business problem. So that just became a love of business. And then on the wealth side, the investing side, I just realized like, man, how is it that I'm working so hard? I'm working 80-hour weeks. I'm number one, number two, number three, whatever I was. And at the end of month, I have nothing left to show for it. I was a single mom. It's like, how do I be a single mom and not like work 80 hours a week because I can't? So it's like learning leverage through building a business and learning leverage through investing. So I then went and studied money and how to create wealth and passive income and finally realized like, hey, I'm helping people buy and sell houses. Why am I not buying and selling houses? So that ultimately is where I am today is really teaching kind of the mindset and the skill set for what is the skill set for building a business that is this is business owners. We own this thing that generates money. And, you know, it's different. You're a business owner. I'm a business owner. It's much different. Like all these different concerns like marketing and sales, and we have to hire people and fire people and manage people. We have to become great leaders. We have to manage the money. We have to set big visions and goals and targets. We have to create projects and initiatives.
We get to.
So it's all these different pieces. But then also like, how do we create a business that generates enough money so that it underwrites the cost of living a good life, but also affords us to be able to, in our case, yours and mine, buy real estate so that we can create that passive income that creates that ultimate financial freedom. And like you, I know I've heard yours and Jay's story, and it started with, I'm going to buy one piece of real estate, and I'm going to, and 2 years later, I'm going to buy another one. I just had this goal to buy a piece of real estate every 2 to 3 years based on how fast I could sell the money. But a piece of that is I realized like I couldn't spend all my income. I had to live on much less than I was earning to be able to have enough money to hit those goals. And ultimately, that's where it is today, that I love teaching investing and the mindset for investing to create that passive income. And how do we create businesses? And then how do we become top performers inside of our own business?
Well, I love that. And that's the dream, which is to create, you know, a real estate business where you get to choose what you want to do every day. Cause you know, it can be a choice. You can choose to stay and work in your business. A lot of business real estate business owners do that. Or you can set yourself a profit goal and say, you know, and I want to make this much money every year out of my business. And usually when you're setting that profit goal, it doesn't necessarily coincide with that ego goal, which is all the awards around your neck. You know, they don't necessarily align. because I really relate to what you're saying, because I did the same thing my first, you know, 5 years in the business. And I always felt a lot of pressure because I was the millionaire real estate agent, you know, author's wife. So I felt like I had to grow. And it wasn't really till I said to myself, you know what, this is really the profit goal that I want to make from my business. And then created a business around that I was able to really have more of like a consistent business. And that's what you're going for. You know, I think a lot of us feel like, oh, I had one good year, I've got a great business. And that's not really true. You know? So I love that. And then that combined with spending less than you make and using some of that money to invest is just a winning scenario. And, you know, for those of us that are in real estate, it's where you've got an inside track, you know, we've got an inside track to do that. So I'm curious, tell me about team building. Who was your first hire? What did that look like? And I know for some people, especially maybe if you're a single mom, some of that help might start at home.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know, it's interesting. Again, this is all reflecting back, but I mean, the day I got into real estate, before I was even making money or even knew how to make money, I hired an assistant. So I just knew, like, it was an automatic thing that for me to be able to just hit these goals and targets, and I knew my limitations. I suck with paperwork, and I'm a real go-getter, but I'm not very good at follow-through and things on the very end.
But where do you think that came from? Because I think a lot of people struggle with that, especially maybe, you know, it sounds like you didn't, you know, you really worked your way to where you were. Why do you think that was? Why do you think you had that sort of, like, leverage mindset from the get-go?
Yeah, I don't know. I think for me, it just seemed obvious that I didn't pay myself for the first year to get just to pay an assistant. And I lived on so little, but I knew if I trained the assistant, that would be the kind of that foundation that then I could really grow my income on top of that. But it just seemed the right order of things. Yeah. But that was business. And to your point, at home, I always had help at home. So I always had help buying the groceries and had help picking the kids up sometimes. And
before Instacart?
Before, exactly. Way before Instacart. But yeah. Again, reflecting back those things, and I just knew that as long as I had that help, I could make whatever money, because I knew what I was capable of doing, and I would do the work and I would make it happen. I would do what it takes. And I was very motivated, and I would learn what I didn't know. So I believed in myself, and even though I lacked a lot of confidence and things at a young age, I also believed in myself. It was so motivated by succeeding that was the be-all, end-all. And I knew that if I could have this stuff handled in the business and have this stuff handled at home, then I could just focus on the, you know, quality mom stuff. I didn't have to do all the minutia. And I could focus on the sales and the relationship building and the things I needed to do on the business side. And it worked. You know, it just seemed like the right order of things at the time. And then ultimately, that's what we teach, right? It's like hire fast.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I, you know, our journeys were remarkably similar. And I did the same thing. You know, people said, oh, you're hiring someone so early. I said, well, that just makes sense to me. You know, that just makes sense to me. And I kind of want to shake those people who feel like they just need to keep doing it all themselves. So I wonder that myself. I'm like, how does one acquire this sort of like team mindset? But I think it's a gradually, maybe then suddenly thing. So
yeah, and it's a trust thing too. Like I think a lot of it comes back to trusting ourselves. Like, you're not going to hire people if you don't trust yourself to be able to produce the results or outcomes, you know? And so I think, like, underneath, that's a big piece of it. And, you know, you're motivated the way I'm going to succeed no matter what. I mean, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to do what it takes. I'm going to get up the next. So I know that about myself. So I don't really have the fear of hiring. Or, you know, I mean, like, it's not fear that's leading that decision.
I love that. I think that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Because if you're not confident in your ability to take that extra time and be successful with it, then you're probably, that's going to hold you back. So yeah, that's really smart. Super smart.
And then we learned, you know, then when we get into more, that's just like we think we talked about, we both naturally, for whatever reason, just that seemed the right order of things. But then part of business is team. So, I mean, that's what team is, and it's a big part of successful business is how well we can build our teams and lead our teams and grow our teams and manage our teams. And we want A players and, you know, so just the people team piece then just becomes a bigger and bigger part of overall business success.
Well, and let's talk about that, because I think, you know, I never thought about myself as a team player. You know, I was always an individual performer. I wasn't on team sports. I mean, I was a little bit, but not really. I was a championship debater, you know, LD debater, okay, which is like for sure not a team sport. Also very nerdy. But like, how do you, were you the same way? I mean, were you like, did team building come naturally to you, or were you naturally a team player, or did you have to work on your mindset around that?
No, I mean, I did play team sports, and so probably a lot of the teaming was built in because I was always on team sports, and I usually was a captain or had some type of leadership position in the team sports. Interestingly enough, I haven't really thought about that, but even with that background, that was, again, that's just what we did, is played as a team and learn how to play as a team growing up in sports and really being an athlete, but a team athlete, not an individual athlete. But when I got into real estate, mortgage and real estate, it was all about individual performance because it's mine, you know, at then I'm not motivated by that anymore. But it, like I said, then I was really motivated by the awards.
Well, we're trained to be motivated by that. That's literally how you're rewarded.
It is how you're rewarded. And I wanted number one. Like, yeah. I was out to prove something. So with that type of desire to be number one, the industry, I think, is the opposite of team sports. It really, like you said, it trains us to be I, me. Mm-hmm. I want my name on the board, on the scoreboard. It's Christina Wise on the scoreboard, not, you know, Good Life Team on the scoreboard or whatever. But so initially, again, I was very motivated by that. So I had to unlearn that a little bit and let go of that desire for me personally on the board. And I'm okay with my business being on the board. So it's, you know, it's a little bit different, but I did have to let go and understand that, okay, to build this team and this business to succeed with or without me, it wasn't about individual performance. It became about team performance. And that was learned.
Well, and what I loved about your team was one of the first teams that I can remember that didn't have your name in it. I always thought that was remarkable. First of all, I thought it was a great name. It's called the Good Life Team, which was great. I now own a business called Her Best Life. So there you go. But I just like, so tell me about the genesis around that. Like, where did that name come up with? And like, who thought of that? Or were you always the Good Life Team? Or
Yeah, I started out of the gate. When I first set up my team with Keller, started as Good Life Team. Mm-hmm. And this is long before Good Life Anything. But yeah, it came out of reading a book, and I don't remember if Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich or it might have been The Peaceful Warrior. There's some book that I read back then that was really about, if you're going to live life, live it good, you know? And so that always stuck with me. Like, if I ever have a business, I'm going to name it Good Life something. So that came back when I was studying and traveling and doing different things before. Like, I knew if I ever had a boy, I was going to name him Kale. And I knew if I ever had a business, I was going to name it Good Life. So it's kind of funny. That went on that actually, you know, Good Life became this more of a trademark name in many different, you know, gyms and
appliances. Yeah, wildly popular.
But back then, when I started to study business and studying aspects of business, like what is enterprise value? And if I'm building this thing, could I ever sell it? And so again, a very prelim, but I started to really study business. And what I realized is I wanted to build businesses that were independent of me. So if I could make money on the business through cash flowing the business and or eventually selling the business, I wanted the business to have an identity distinct from me. So it became this. So that's why I've named all my businesses don't have my name. And, you know, people are like, Wise is a great last name. Why don't you name your businesses Wise Real Estate or something?
Yeah.
But that became the thing.
Because you could be wealthy, wealthy Wise, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But that's the idea. And then it was like, okay, I need to build my own personal identity. as far as people identify me, but I want to be identified like I own the Good Life team, right? Yeah. I own Wealthy Wealthy. I'm the founder owner, and I have my identity of who I am and what I teach, what my purpose is and that. But my business is this thing that is produces the products or services that help people.
And I don't want it's so smart because I mean, what you did way back when was you created a personal brand for yourself. You've always had a very, very strong personal brand. Like when people say your name, they know exactly what they get when they talk to you. And, you know, again, 20 years ago when you started building your personal brand, the world was not like that. Like people weren't having that conversation around like, hey, I'm going to build a personal brand and then I'm going to use my personal brand to like create all these different products and sell them, you know, like Kylie Jenner does now. But like you were way before your time, Christina. You were just really brilliant. So I don't know if that was luck or genius or a bit of both. So
well, I don't know. Well, thank you. And, and you know, I just, again, back then it was just a lot of, you know, being tenacious and, but I always have, I mean, interestingly enough, this is kind of sidebar, but really between me and you, is that I've always been ahead of my time. That's been one of the things. And I've started so many businesses. I say so many, but there's probably been 5 businesses I've started. I started businesses too soon. Like I had the vision. Mm-hmm. I could see where the marketplace was going. It was in the marketplace, but it was too early. So I did have several businesses that didn't make it because I just couldn't keep it capitalized long enough while, you know, people caught on. And, you know, just early on social media back then and early on. And, you know, I mean, I sat on the board of advisors for DocuSign. And I mean, I thought DocuSign was the greatest thing. Like, why the hell wouldn't we do this? Why would we ever do faxes when we could DocuSign? And I was trying to get the industry back then to do DocuSign, and the agents would be, I mean, they wouldn't have anything to do with DocuSign.
Yeah.
You know, but so I spent like 2 or 3 years just wasting time trying to push that through before the marketplace was ready. And, you know, now it's funny. Can we imagine doing business without DocuSign?
No, absolutely not. But, well, I mean, that is a good way to describe it. I know you didn't call yourself a visionary, but I would call you a visionary because I've just watched you do so many things way ahead of everybody else, even just opening your office, you know, on the cool hip East Side. I mean, when you did that, I was like, wow, that is amazing. You know, that's so cool. Like that was right when East Austin was just on the edge of exploding. So you saw all that. So yeah, so for sure you are a true visionary. So let's fast forward a little bit because I want to talk about your business now and give you a shout out and have our listeners understand kind of what you're doing now. So you've kind of exited the real estate team a while ago. You moved from Austin and tell us about Wealthy Wealthy.
Yeah. So, I mean, with real estate, first of all, I love real estate. I just, it's such an amazing career. I think it's a really great way to build a business that has all the elements of business, including branding, personal branding. And, you know, we change people's lives, you know, all the things that real estate is. And I built a good business and a good brand being in real estate. And from there, I wanted a couple things. One, I wanted to prove to myself that I could build successful business or businesses separate from real estate. Mm-hmm. And that became just that next challenge because I learned how to build a business as a real estate business, but could I build another, you know, 7-figure business under doing something totally different? So that just became this challenge to do that. And that was a challenge. And then two, as much as I love real estate, for me, I just knew there was something else I wanted to do and to teach. And based on that life journey of seeing through my own experience, but seeing so many people in real estate really feast or famine and just really suck with money, making a lot of it, but being month to month and the commission to commission hamster wheel and just so many family, there's so many things that had to do with the finances.
So tough.
It's so tough. And, you know, nobody works harder than real estate agents. And to work so hard and then just, again, just so much financial struggle that, and I had just such a love of money and wealth creation and business that I thought, hey, can I teach business and wealth creation as a business that real estate agents and other individual performers and small business people could incorporate to get out of that financial struggle? So ultimately started with real estate agents and those in the real estate industry, and now it's more just entrepreneurs. So that's what the business is now. It's called Wealthy Wealthy, and it's around designing what we call designing your good life. How much does it cost to live it? And how do we go about kind of day after day, month after month, year after year, out of building wealth and building businesses that bring a lot of joy to our life and purpose and have the financial rewards that allow us to live a good lifestyle. So that's what the business is now, is learned everything that I learned in the real estate industry to be successful, one at real estate and real estate investing is those two concerns. Then take all those lessons and move it over to a new business is to teach how to build a business and build financial wealth.
I love that. And you offer webinars, coaching. Tell me about your coaching. Is it one-on-one coaching?
Yeah, I do. Actually, I sell classes. And so okay. I sell a 12-week personal finance class. And that starts by answering the question, how much money is enough? And to look at, that's where the book came from. So where I started this business, I wrote this book that's called Falling for Money, a romance novel for your bank account, as you mentioned. But it's this real idea is that when we're in business, real estate, working hard, whatever we're doing, we're working to make money one way or another. And so, and hopefully we have a joy in making that money. But we work so hard for our money one way or another, and then we just believe that money's going to work out. Mm-hmm. So most people don't have what I call a really healthy relationship with money. They don't understand money. They know how to make it. They know how to spend it. But they don't know how to grow it. They don't know how to multiply it. They don't know how to invest it. They don't know how to create passive income. And that creates that month-to-month, that financial struggle, like where you're never getting ahead. So that's what I teach in my personal finance classes, starting with that book. But how much money is enough, and how do we manage our money? How much net worth do we need? How much income do we need?
Yeah, what's the goalpost?
What's the goalpost? Exactly. Yeah. So that's that class, and that's a 12-week class where it's group coaching, and according to a methodology and framework I teach. And then I do business. I do have a business school. Like today, right before I was talking about I did a business planning class. And you teach business planning too, but it's understanding that we have to start with a plan and have a business plan and business strategy that we fulfill on, and what are our business goals and how do we set those, and what are the 12 building blocks of business that we have to build over time, and how much profit is enough, and how do we know how much profit's enough and build a business that creates that profit. So that's the business school, and that's a 20-week class and group coaching program that I take people through. So that's what I do today is I write books and I write blogs and I do YouTubes and I do podcasts. And I really work to share and teach as much as I can that anybody that wants to work with me would join one or both of those classes.
Well, I love that. And it's just been a full circle for you. I mean, you've really just built a remarkable career over the last 20 years. And now you're just taking everything that you've learned in that career and you're giving it back to people, which is really wonderful, which is what hopefully all of our listeners are aspiring to do someday. So Christina, thank you so much for joining us today. I always learn so much when we get together. We don't talk often enough.
We don't talk enough. We need to make work happen out of this.
I know. Well, next time you come in Austin, we're going to have to get together. But I took so many notes today, so many takeaways about kind of the mindset between being an individual agent and a team and getting rid of that award mentality and really adopting like a team mentality and thinking about your being a realtor as a business owner. And then really just this idea of personal branding and then taking everything you've learned and really turning that around and giving back, because that is really, I believe, when abundance comes into your life is when you're able to give back with some of the lessons that you've learned. And I know you've got many more lessons. We could probably spend the next 10 hours talking about everything that you've learned in the last 20 years. But I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for everything that you've done. Thank you for inspiring me along the way. You were a big inspiration to me when I started my business 15 years ago. And so thank you. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, you're welcome. Just to close on that, you know, it's funny you said over the last 20 years, and it has been just a little over 20 years. And yeah. Part of what I teach is this idea of get rich slow. Mm-hmm. Because I think there's so much propaganda out there about get rich quick. And everybody mm-hmm. that I know that has like true financial wealth and abundance, everyone I know, like you, we've done it slowly. It's been a 20-year game. And, you know, on the other side of 20 years, it's like, all right, things worked out. But, but you know, it was lots of slim years and slim months.
Lots of slim years. All the slim years. Yeah. Then all of a sudden you get to look up and you're like, whoa, I made it, you know?
Exactly. But it's just, you know, like to enjoy the ride. And it's a 20-year game. And if we can get over some of the short-term get-rich-quick type mentality that many times gets us into trouble. Enjoy the ride. Enjoy the ride.
It is all about the journey. Yeah, it's not about where we're going. It's all about the journey. So thank you to our listeners. If you enjoyed today's episode, we would love for you to leave a 5-star rating and review. And don't forget to go out and build a big business and an even bigger life. Bye, guys.